Tefillah class number 4. In today's class, I hope that I'll be able to further prove the idea which we discussed before Yom Tov. So let's just review. What we said until now is as follows. That the first three brachos of Shmona Esrei represent three different views of Hashem. One was that God was like a father, another that God is like a king, and the third that God is a Kel HaKadosh. She's some distant but awesome, difficult to understand power. And each aspect, we said, would have us pray a little bit differently. Right? Depending on how we viewed God, we would probably pray a little differently, even though we might say the same words, but we would certainly feel different, stand differently, think different things. Fine. And last time what we said was that the three different times of the day fit very well with the different tefillos. Right? We saw that the Jerusalem Talmud in Brachos suggested that the reason why we got to three tefillos was three different time zones in the sky. Right, the sun rising in the morning, the sun setting in the afternoon, and then darkness at night. And we suggested that those three different time zones, light, whatever you call them, maybe, just maybe, can't know this for sure, but maybe, just maybe, were there to tell us something about the way God wants us to relate to Him at a particular time of the day. Right, that in the morning when God is giving us light, light of course is representative of so much good stuff. Right, Ya'er Hashem Panav Elecha, his countenance should shine on you. Light represents all this bracha and everything like that. The morning, He gives us extra light. Every day, you think about it, He didn't have to do that. And we take the world as a given. He didn't have to create a world where the sun rises in the morning and sets in the afternoon and it's gone all night. I mean, there are places in the world where it doesn't work so well. If it was light all the time, nobody here would have complained. Nobody here would have said the world is broken. We're just used to it. But maybe, just maybe, we suggest that that's why there's this daily cycle. The sun rising representing when God wants to relate to us as through chesed. The afternoon when he wants us to relate to him through din, through judgment. And the night when it's more difficult to understand him, hester panim. And that each one is represented at different times of the day. And so we suggested we daven three different kinds of davenings. Shacharis is filled with praise of Hashem. And we say emet v'yatziv, it's established and it's inscribed, everything there, and we're sure. Mincha is very, very short. And Ma'ariv is a little longer, but it kind of contains a need for the future, right? Hashkibenu, save us forever, emes v'amuna. Talk about the chesed of God in the morning and the emuna that we have in God in night. Or the fact that God is so trustworthy, we talk about at night. And we suggested that these three times of the day and these three different times of tefillah correspond to the three different midos of Hashem we've been focusing on. So shacharis equals chesed equals God as a father. Mincha equals din equals God as a melech. And Ma'ariv equals emes and emuna equals God as a kel hakadosh. And therefore I suggested that even within the Shmona Esrei itself, where the words are the same, we might want to daven differently in the three times of the day. Okay. I still understand if you don't believe me. Because I'm basically looking at makoros and things that, although they kind of make sense, I could be making them up for all you know. They're basically sources of stuff that you haven't seen, you're not that familiar with. I hadn't seen them either till I had started studying tefillah. Most people don't just sit around and study the Jerusalem Talmud. Most people who aren't gedolim don't sit around and just study the Jerusalem Talmud all day. So I'd like today to focus on another important three. Another important three. And a very famous piece on tefillah very famous piece on tefillah, which you are familiar with and you have heard. And through that, try to cement in your mind the idea that this is definitely true, or at least that there's something to all of this. Now, we have three avos. Okay? We don't have four avos, and we don't have 15 avos, and surprisingly, we don't have one av. We have three avos. Now, without getting into the details of how exactly that happens, you can't have three avos. What does it mean when we talk about we have three avos, a bunch of imahos, we'll have to talk about them too. What makes Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov our avos? What is that? Is it just the fact that every one of us comes from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? We all come from Terach too. Come from Noach. Come from Adam. Is it just that, well, Terach was a bad guy, so we're not going to start with Terach, but we do, the good guys that we all come from are Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Or maybe, is the fact that we don't all come from Yaakov, any one of Yaakov's children, maybe there's a reason for that. I mean, maybe it's not just a coincidence that there happened to be one Avraham and one Yitzchak and one Yaakov and then 12 Shvatim. It wasn't just that Yaakov liked having a big family and he happened to have a lot of wives and a big family. Why is it that there was this one, two, three, and then branching out? Now, we're going to learn over the course of the semester a whole bunch of Chumash and Tanakh. And we're going to look at the lives of the Avos a lot more than we're going to look at right now in the beginning of the class. And we're going to look at the lives of other characters in Tanakh. And I ask, for the purpose of our discussions of characters in Tanakh, that you accept the following as a groundwork. There are those who say that one can never criticize the Avos. We're not going to be in the business of criticizing the Avos. It's not what the class happens to be about. But I don't know if we gain anything by saying that the Avos weren't human beings. Generally, when I learn in shul, and when I speak in shul on Shabbos and things like that, I take the attitude that the Avos and the Imahos and David HaMelech were incredible human beings who were still human beings, and they made mistakes sometimes. And it seems that not only the text, but Chazal were very open with many of the mistakes that many of these people made. I find it very difficult to support the concept that they never made mistakes. I mean, so many times you see in the text, and forget about the text, we can't look at the text, but even in the Gemara it says it, somebody made a mistake. But, I think that it's fair to say the following, that while the Avos and the Imahos and all these people might have been human beings who made mistakes and lived normal lives, and they had lives also, they knew that they were the Avos and they knew that they were the Imahos. In other words, I'm willing to accept the possibility that they were, and in fact the probability, they were human beings that made faults and did this and that. But we need to start looking at the lives of the Avos, the Imahos, and the characters as people who understood they were creating history of some sort. It didn't, not everything in the Chumash and in Tanakh just worked out that way. Right? When Rachel and Leah are upset about who's having more kids, Rachel was a human being. Rachel was a mother, and mothers, or Rachel's a woman, was a wife, and wives and women like to have children. And I have no doubt that Rachel was pained by the fact that she just couldn't have children like any other woman. But Rachel was also pained because she knew that if she didn't have a child, she wouldn't have one of the Shvatim. And when Sarah is concerned whether she's in or out, whether she's going to have a child or not, it wasn't just about whether she'll be barren. It's whether she'll be Sarah. So I ask that we try to take that understanding of who these people are and what they were. That they were people who were people, they had their faults, they lived lives, they were great human beings. We can't even relate to how great they were. But they were people too. But for somehow and in some way, they understood that they were part of something much, much greater. And I'll try to prove that throughout the semester as well. What does it mean we have three avos? What I think it means is that we have three people that pave the way, not for our physical people, but for our religion. There are three avos of Yahadus. There aren't three avos of the physical Jewish people. Avraham is the father of the Jewish people. Or Yisrael, Yaakov is the father of the Jewish people. But there are three individuals who set different paths in terms of finding God. We say in the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, ve'Elokei Yaakov, and some have asked, why don't we just say Elokei Avraham, Yitzchak, ve'Yaakov? Why say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, ve'Elokei Yaakov? Because each one of these people related to God in a different way. That's why there are three avos and not one. Because each one had a very distinct nature and a very different relationship with Hashem. What was Avraham's nature? What was his outstanding characteristic? Chesed, right? Chesed la Avraham, it says in Micha. Where do you see the chesed of Avraham? The three malachim. What? Hachnas asorchim, right? Right, the war to save Lot, fighting for Sodom, the nefesh asher asu b'charan, the people that he made. And it's interesting to note that what makes Avraham great was not how many people he touched only, but the fact that he wanted to help everybody. Chesed really means indiscriminate acts of kindness.